Proverbs 31, verse 10. There we go. Let's read this together. We are continuing a series on virtues from the book of Proverbs, and we're going to be doing this all summer long. And the more I study it, the more I discover, the longer perhaps we will go, but I believe we'll be doing this for the entirety of the summer. And we're learning precisely how to live just and wise lives according to the Proverbs. And so let me read this whole section, and maybe by the time I'm done reading, the monsoon out there will have chilled out. Let's start in verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her. We talked about that a few weeks ago under the virtue of loyalty. And he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Verse 13 is what we will be covering today, verse 13 and verse 14, so read carefully. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She works out. That's what that means. Verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out all night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Amen? Let's look at verse 13 and 14 one more time. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. All right, Kevin, you can turn me down just a little bit. We can get the God echo out, and then I will be comfortable again. Just a little bit down. I'll speak up a little bit. All right, that's good. I like that. Can y'all, this is okay. All right, look at that right there in verse 14. She brings her food from afar. That phrase resonated with me all week long, from afar. You know, if we wanted to eat in the next 5 minutes, every one of us, I bet we could pull it off. Like just 5 minutes. I don't mean run to the parsonage because the pizza's not there, okay? I don't think. But I mean, like, if we didn't plan at all, no foresight, no planning, no strategy, and we all wanted to eat immediately. Get something in our bellies immediately. Instant gratification. We could do it in 5 minutes. Like, we'd have to fan out. Some of us would hit fast food. Some of us hit McDonald's. We'd hit the convenience store. Some of you are like, I'm not going to McDonald's. No, we'd hit the convenience store. There's enough pizza for at least one section of us at the racetrack on the interstate. We could probably eat in 5 minutes. That's pretty quick. I heard a story of a man who was in not maximum security, but pretty much locked down for rehab in the middle of nowhere. And it was about 2 a.m. and he wanted pizza. And he got it in 10 minutes behind walls and barbed wire fences and security checkpoints. We have microwaves. We have refrigeration. We have grocery stores. We have fast food. We have instant meals. We have convenience stores. We have gas station pepper jack boudin balls that can be purchased and eaten very quickly. Instant gratification at the drop of a hat, at the slightest whim. We don't have to plan. We don't have to look ahead. We don't have to strategize. For a little bit more money, we can have instant gratification and convenience just about any time we want it, right? Yet, we see here in verse 14 that the virtuous woman, she brings her food from afar. She's compared to a merchant ship. So that when you sit down at the table of the virtuous woman, you are eating a meal that has taken 3 months to prepare. You are eating a meal 3 months in the making. When she cooks dinner, she's not just cooking dinner. She's accomplishing one of many steps in a long-term strategy for providing for her family. A thoughtful, insightful, intelligent strategy. What do we call this particular virtue of looking off in the distance, recognizing obstacles or opportunities, obstacles to avoid or to plan for, or opportunities to seize? What do we call this particular virtue? It's called foresight. Foresight. Let's say that with me, all together, class. Foresight. There you go. Look at verse 21. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. You see, I just got back on vacation, and the mountain that we were scheduled to climb, two people had died on the mountain the day before from the snow, from hypothermia, which was coming from Louisiana is quite a bit of a shock, a little humbling. We did not climb that mountain. Climbed another one, tried to. But she's not afraid of snow, and it's not because she doesn't recognize the dangers of hypothermia, and it's not because she has got her head in the sand. A lot of people have their head in the sand. They know winter is coming. They know there is a problem amassing on the horizon. They know that if they keep eating the way that they're eating, it's just a matter of time before they develop diabetes or worse, right? I mean, they can see it. They have the foresight. They see it. They see the storm looming on the horizon. You can't eat like that, can't drink like that, can't smoke like that, can't live like that and sleep like that or not sleep like that for long. They can see it. It's there on the horizon. She's not, but they put their head in the sand, right? They don't want to hear it. Just don't go to the doctor. That way you don't hear the diagnosis, right? The little engine light comes on the car. Just get you a little black electric tape. That's a lot cheaper than the mechanic. You just put it over the engine light, right? Solved, right? A lot of people are like that. They don't want to hear it, and they certainly don't want anyone else to tell them. But she's not like that. She's not denying the reality that the winter is coming, that there are going to be difficulties and obstacles in the future. She's not afraid of the snow because she's prepared. Amen? Proper prior planning prevents poor performance. That's what they say. She is not afraid of the snow because she has gathered the necessary materials to prepare her household so that they are clothed properly. And so her anxieties are abated because she has foresight and prudence and initiative to make things happen. It's very virtuous. So does this mean, Pastor, that we all need to be planning out our meals? We know you're into cooking now. We've seen it on Facebook. Now you're the expert. You're going to try to tell us what to do. No, it doesn't mean you can't eat fast food. God forbid, it does not mean you can't eat at a gas station, which has the best food in all of Acadiana, right? It doesn't mean you can't try fast food here or there. That is an application. The virtuous woman does prepare her meals over an extended period of time. She's exercising foresight and strategic planning. She knows what's in her pantry. She's got an inventory. She's not just spending money on a whim, blowing and going. You know, fast food is the most expensive way to eat. That's what I hear. right? Am I right about that? I'm pretty sure I asked ChatGPT some of these things, and it agrees. It's the most expensive way to eat, and it's also the least healthy. Am I right? It's also the least healthy. So this is not the 11th commandment or anything. I'm not putting on you a yoke that I myself do not, you know, bear. But, I mean, I do think it is a direct application. We ought to consider how much money we could save, how much money we could perhaps make if we exercised a little foresight when it comes to providing for our family. Foresight. It's a virtue. But it's not. This is not just about food, though. The principle of foresight is also about financial planning. And this is not something that I've been good at over the course of my life, financial planning. I like to take risks. I like to fly by the seat of my pants. I'm spontaneous, impulsive, perhaps. That's not a good biblical virtue. So, I'm being vulnerable and confessing to you. But we ought to, when it comes to our finances, exercise some foresight and do some financial planning. Plan for retirement, whatever that might look like. Amen? Who's the next pastor of this church going to be? I'm not retiring, but I'm getting old. I'm knocking on 50. I mean, do churches think about the next generation? Do they plan for the future? Do they exercise foresight? Or does everyone just stick their head in the sand? Right? Or deny the reality that everyone's getting older? Have you, if you have a business, have you looked down the corridors of time and wondered to yourself, who's going to take this business on in the next generation? My business is meeting the needs of Acadiana, and I want to make sure the needs of Acadiana are met in the next generation, so I need to exercise a little foresight. That's right. That's a virtue, a biblical virtue that comes from the Holy Spirit and is described right here in our text. Do you have a will? Do you have life insurance? Do you have a will? Do you have life insurance? Right? Everyone should be nodding yes right now. Do you plan for vacation earlier so that the flights don't cost as much? That's good. These are just general applications here. Are you planning for the IRS, that thief in the night? Are you setting aside money here and there to plan for your tax bill? Anybody here, do you purchase coats in the summer? I hear they're cheaper in the summer. But you can't do that unless you've exercised the virtue of foresight. It's a godly virtue. If I asked every single one of you before the sermon, or if I asked any random 100 people to describe the various qualities of God, what's God like? Or if I would ask them, how can we as Christians let our light shine in this world and show God to people? We would hear people say, love. I think love would be on the Family Feud top 10 list. Easily love. We would have kindness, gentleness. If we're going to be good witnesses in Acadiana, we need to be loving and kind and gentle and forgiving and compassionate. Amen? Who would say exercise foresight? Probably not anyone. It would not make the list. Yet, that is one of the characteristics of God. Listen to Genesis chapter 41, verse 38. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God? He's talking about Joseph. And he says, is there a man on the planet that has the Holy Spirit more than Joseph? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and none so wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. You see, how did Joseph let his light shine in Egypt? Was it his gentleness and his love and his compassion and his mercy and his benevolence? I'm sure all of those things. But here we see that he demonstrates that he has the Holy Spirit of God by knowing the future and knowing a plan, a proper plan, to handle the future. He is exercising the virtue of foresight, and Pharaoh recognizes the Holy Spirit is with this guy. You know, Christians aren't called to be bad at what they do. Amen? Christians aren't called to shoot from the hip. Christians are called to exercise foresight. It is one of the various species or aspects of wisdom. It comes from the Holy Spirit, and honestly, we all ought to pray for more foresight. Amen? Amen. So what is foresight? It is the ability to anticipate or predict what may happen in the future, and to plan or act accordingly. You look off into the future, you see obstacles, you plan and act accordingly. What did Joseph do? He saw the famine coming, so he established a plan in order that all the nations of the world would be saved and given bread. You look forward into the future and you see an opportunity that you could seize. You look forward into the future and you see a need in Acadiana that you could meet, and you could meet that need with a little money left over. That's called profit. That's what an entrepreneur is. An entrepreneur has foresight, and whoever has the most foresight wins. They make the most money. That's how it works. And it's a virtue that comes from the Lord. People with foresight aren't hasty. They're deliberate and calculated. Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance. Who is hasty comes only to poverty. You can see that foresight leads to prosperity. People who have foresight, they resist impulsive purchases. When you are pulling up to the cash register and you have your child with you, you ought to begin, as they are young, to help them understand this stuff right here is not for our family, right? Right? You know, I love you. I get you candy. I get you ice cream all the time, but we don't do it impulsively. We're not suckers to good marketing. We are not tricked by the razzle dazzle of the showroom. When the devil shows up with a shiny fruit and says, look, wow, take a bite of this. We're not enamored by that. You know, we're going to be eating apples later this week. You know, we've already planned. Apple day is Thursday, not today. You know, we are not impulsive and hasty. We're not like fish just swimming around for whatever juicy worm just pops up in front of our face. Hastiness leads to poverty. And I think, you know, we have microwaves and we have instant food and we have ready meals and fast food and convenience stores, and all these things are supposed to be making, they're supposed to be giving us time to do awesome things. I don't know. I'm not convinced that they aren't perhaps making us worse at foresight. You know, sort of like a crutch. We have enough money. We have enough time. We're wealthy. Things are convenient. We don't really have to exercise foresight. And I think there's probably a lot of money getting wasted that doesn't necessarily have to be wasted and could be used better for the kingdom of heaven. Amen? So, I mean, we are his stewards after all, aren't we? And a good steward exercises foresight. Those people with foresight, they refuse to window shop. They're not tantalized by marketing. They might buy in bulk. I'm not a huge buy in bulk guy because my house doesn't fit bulk. It's very, I tell my, when we buy things, we actually think about square footage. So it's like, that is 4 square feet. We cannot purchase that much toilet paper, right? So, but generally, someone who, generally, you know, someone with foresight might buy in bulk. They understand the markets. They know the seasons. They know that around Cinco de Mayo, the pork butts go on sale for 98 cents a pound, right? That's when you want to fill the freezer up, because they're exercising foresight and they just saved a whole lot of money. Foresight is an important aspect of household management. Household management. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households. I like that. You know, every married woman here, or anyone who is going to be married, or anyone who perhaps is not married but is still the head of the household now because they're a widower or whatnot, the Lord has called you to manage your household, to manage it. What is the word manage? It means to steward. And what is a good? What makes a good steward? Foresight. He wants you to manage your household. You see, you're talking about fluffing pillows and doing dishes? You know, maybe. That's part of it. But it's a lot bigger than that, amen? It's a lot bigger than that. Managing a household. The word here, and I can only remember it in the masculine, is oikos despotes. The feminine would be, I can't remember the feminine off the top of my head. But listen to the word oikos. That's the household, from which we get the word economy. It's a big word. Despotes, from which we get the word despot or tyrant. You know, think about that, moms, later whenever you're preparing a meal. I am the tyrant of this house, right? I am the despot of the home. I'm the manager. I'm the steward. If I'm not exercising foresight, no one's going to be doing it. And we're going to be wasting money. Money's going to be just going out the back door, and we're not going to even know where it's going. We want to manage the household. You see, I think, and foresight is for men and women. There's the qualifier. But a lot of housewives, a lot of moms, a lot of women think that perhaps if they follow the Bible's calling in their life to be primarily oriented to their household, not absolutely and utterly oriented to their household and always, all the time, but primarily oriented to the household. That's the calling of a wife. Amen, right? They think that if they follow the Bible's calling to be primarily oriented to their husband and to their children and to the economy and the jurisdiction of their household, that God is sort of like underestimating them, that their talents are bigger, that they could do more, that they'll never be self-actualized or enjoy any self-fulfillment managing a household. But God is not underestimating you. You are underestimating the potential of the household. That's what's happening. You're underestimating the potential of the household. The household is the building block of society. It is the central number one economic force in this nation. Our church is comprised of households. To be primarily oriented to a household is a great calling that requires foresight. Amen? Just imagine what you could do if you really put your heart and mind into it. Instead of using all of your capacities and your intellectual prowess and your skill to serve the man, use it to serve your man and see what our households could become. I mean, why build up corporate America when you could build up your household? See what I'm saying? It's just a vision that's lost on Christian women in America these days. But it is a glorious mission. It is an amazing vision, and it requires foresight. Don't give the world or some random man, some corporate entity out there all your foresight. Put some foresight in your home. Amen? See how big you can build up your household. Amen. Now, men, foresight is necessary in your endeavors as well. As I said, it is essential to entrepreneurship. You got to be able to look into the future and see what's coming for your family. Don't make your wives do this, guys. Don't make your wives be the only ones saying, honey, we have an economic crisis on the horizon. Right? We need credit cards. No, that's not what we do. Right? We're going to get to that in a second. But be looking forward, thinking forward. Set a vision for your household with some foresight. All right, let's move on to the next one. Not only is the virtuous woman exercising foresight, she is exercising prudence. Because foresight isn't enough. You could see the future, and you can see the obstacles, and you can see the opportunities, but you need to know what to do about it. Amen? And that particular virtue is called prudence. Prudence is the ability to make the right decision. You ever known someone that no matter what decision they're offered, they always make the wrong decision? Right? They lack prudence. They don't ask wise counselors. They let their counselors know after they've made the decision already. And wise counselors, when you let them know, usually give you a pat on the back and feel sorry for you, right? Because you're about to learn the hard way. But prudent people, they seek counsel, they pray, they study the scriptures, they study the Proverbs in particular, which is one of the ways God gives us prudence. They ask a multitude of counselors. They ask particularly those people over them that God has placed over them, like their parents and their pastors, and they ask them with a green light and say, please, please tell me what you really think. Shoot me straight. Give me the whole thing. And they stop and they listen quietly so that they can get some prudence so that when they have to make a decision, it's a good one. Amen? I mean, in my opinion, if you're doing what your pastors and your parents and all the older men or the older women in your life are all saying to do, if you do that and it doesn't go wrong, hey, look, you did your part. I mean, it's not on you totally. Anyway, you need prudence. Joseph, he could see, He could see the famine on the horizon. That's foresight. But he also knew what to do about it. And he collected one-fifth of the grain for 7 years so that there was abundance in the land. So not only did he have foresight, he had prudence. Amen? Look at verse 13. We can see her prudence here because she seeks wool and flax. She probably got her hair did, and she does her nails. But that's not the most important thing in life. Amen? The most important thing, the priority, is to make sure in that culture that you have your wool, that's for your clothing in winter, and you have your flax, that's for your clothing in summer, that makes linen. And so when the psalmist is praising the virtues of the virtuous woman, he points out that she seeks, she's ambitious, she's willing, she's passionate about the priorities. That's prudence. She sees the future and she knows, you know what? We only have so much money. We only have so much time. We need to make sure we get the wool and the flax. Right? There's a lot of people without prudence. They look, they know the problems. They see them amassing on the horizon. They say, you know what we need? We need credit cards. That's not what you need. It's like jumping out of the fire into the frying pan. No, frying pan into the fire. Other people see the future. They see the problem coming and they think what I need is a bass boat, right? No, she knows what she needs is the raw materials to clothe her family. She has her priorities in order. That's very important. A lot of lazy people, because of American culture and abundance and convenience, they have the liberty to make stupid decisions because mommy's going to still care for them or the government's still going to care for them. Winter's coming, and they're just going to sloth off on everybody else, and they have the convenience to do that because there's various social security nets in our society. But we shouldn't do that as Christians. We shouldn't be dumb and make other people pick up our slack. We should be wise and prioritize. Make sure we have the wool and the flax so out of love, we're not putting our needs on everybody else come wintertime. Amen? Right? Amen. So when you make a to-do list, here's just a suggestion or an application. When you make a to-do list, put them in order of importance. You can call that a succession list, like a succession list. Put them in an order. Don't just have a to-do list that's a giant blob. Put them in the order of importance and make sure you get the main things done first. Amen? Laziness is going to tempt you to do the things that aren't so important. Isn't it? There's a pile of laundry on that couch that's 6 feet tall, but you know what? I really need to water the houseplant. So, okay, I don't know which one's more important, but just make sure you're not doing a whole lot of things that aren't that important. That's not very prudent. Do the main things first. Amen. Proverbs 22, verse 3. The prudent sees danger, foresight, and then does the right thing about it, prudence. Hides himself. The simple, la-di-da, goes on, Pollyannish, and suffers for it. He lacks prudence. He's got his head in the sand, or he's having a good time. Don't kill his buzz. That's not how we can live, though. That's not good stewardship. All right, third. Are y'all got a time for another? Got time for one more? All right. Initiative. I like this one. Initiative. So you can see into the future. You see the obstacles or you see the opportunities. That's a virtue from the Holy Spirit. But then you need the prudence to know what to do about it. That's another virtue that she has. But then, and without this one, nothing else matters. You have to have the initiative to get up and do something about it. Amen? Right? And sometimes there's people with prudence. They know what to do about a solution. Right. There's people with foresight. They can see it coming a mile away. And sometimes there's people without any foresight. I think whenever I was writing this, I was thinking when I'm at my fishing camp, I perpetually hit my head on the same light. Y'all have seen how bloody I make the top of my head. That is all from the same place and the same light in the room. I lack foresight. I never see it coming. And just, wow, it's a hard life, right? It's a hard life without foresight. There's people like that. There's people that live their lives that way. They're just every day getting hit by another wave. And then there's people with no prudence. They see the problems, and all they know how to do is stress out about them. They don't know what to do about them. But then there's a special type of person, and I think churches in America are filled with them. And that is, they have the foresight and they have the prudence, but they have no initiative. They could see a problem, and they know what to do about it, but they just don't do it. They're waiting for everybody else to do it, right? They don't want to pull their own weight. They want everybody else to carry them. You know, in the ancient world, you had a certain type of person like that. They would never pull their own weight. Everybody else had to carry them, literally. And they were called slave masters. They were called tyrants. And they had these carts or these carriages. They were called litters. And there was four poles sticking out the litter where a slave would walk holding the pole like a pallbearer on his shoulder. And the tyrant, slave master, elite, rich person would sit in the little fancy carriage up at the top. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about? Okay. You see, when you're up there in your little carriage, having your comfortable ride, you can see the problems ahead. You can see them. And you even know, hey, we should take a left here from your heightened vantage point. But it's the initiative that you have a problem with, you see? Hey, you know, when is somebody going to do something about this down here? Right? Hey, I have some concerns about this place. You know, I'd like to know what our strategy about this particular problem is. Well, you know, hey, but come down out of your carriage and help, right? You know, we need foresight and prudence, but then we need a lot of people who are on the grounds willing to work with their hands. You remember what the virtuous woman, what it says? She works with willing hands, cheerful. And hand, that means she does the dirty work. She didn't make everybody else do it. She has cheerful, willing hands and willing to get dirty. She's willing to scrub toilets. She's willing to solve whatever the problems that need to be solved are. That's virtue. Amen. There it is. Thanks, Kevin. Verse 13. Look at that initiative there. She seeks. She pursues. She's ambitious toward making sure she gets what is necessary for her household. That's initiative. She has an account with the shepherds. She has an account with the flax farmer. She makes sure that every year the main things are done and her family is taken care of. Look, if we ask 100 Christians, we're done now, but if we ask 100 Christians, how can we be God to the people of Acadiana? How can we let our light shine? Love, gentleness, compassion, patience. I love all of those things. Those are great. But also Christians, as stewards, we are called to show Acadiana foresight and prudence and initiative, like Joseph, just like Joseph in Egypt. That was the means through which the Lord exalted him to dominion over the empire. I mean, how many Christians whine and complain about the fact that no one will do anything in this town about this particular problem? Our nation's going to hell in a handbasket. I wish there was someone that would do something about it. We're just floating around on our little carriages like slave masters. I wish people would do something about this. A lot of Christians want to rule. We think we know what's best for the country. We know what's best for this town. We know what's best for this organization or this community. We have all the ideas. We're the idea people. But we need to be boots on the ground, working with willing hands, exercising foresight, prudence, and initiative if we're ever going to experience the dominion that Joseph did over his culture. Amen? All right, let's all stand. And prudence and initiative, all that comes from the throne of heaven. God gives it to us. He does give it to us through various means, like prayer and Bible reading and a multitude of counselors and good parents, etc. But it does ultimately come from the throne of God. And so we need to pray and ask him to make our church not only a loving church and a friendly church. I went to a church on vacation and they had a sign in the back and said, "You have found the friendliest church." And I thought, they were pretty friendly. I mean, it was possible. There was only one church in the whole town that didn't wave the rainbow flag. So I didn't try them all out. But they were pretty friendly. Friendliest church. Well, what if we had a sign that said, "Welcome to the church with a lot of foresight and prudence. Like, we make good decisions around here." It doesn't have the ring to it, but it really is biblical. It really is biblical. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray and ask the Lord for help.